531.
We're joined now by the Minister for Pacific Peoples, the Honourable Aupito Toisulusulutu Faisu'u William Seal for Atala Noa, and how appropriate, of course, being Samoan Language Week. Maroso I fuala fionga Aupito, and thank you so much for your time, as always, Minister. And I love that background, very matariki type of thing there. Awesome.
So for Manuia, Brian, and Dalofalava, Danto, what you know, my Danto, Pokalamineta, and Pope, thank you for the opportunity.
Minister, firstly, of course, Samoan Language Week, and no doubt a very, very busy week for you. Give us an overview and some of the events you've attended thus far.
It's been exciting. It's quite a different, there's quite a different sense of Samoan Language Week this week. This is, of course, the second of 9 Pacific Language Weeks for this year. We launched it in Papatoetoe High School. Samoan Language Week, the theme was developed by Whangasā, Sa'asia, Fotua Malama. Whangasā, obviously, the fraternity of Samoan teachers. Sa'asia, your experts and your early childhood education centres. Fotua Malama, with a focus on high school students. So it was the high school students that hosted us at Papatoetoe High School. It was beautiful. Lots of confidence. It was all in Samoan. My speech was supposed to be half Samoan, half English. But given that all the students were speaking Samoan, I ended up speaking Samoan. I think, and there's been lots happening. We had, with negotiations with the speaker, we had representatives from the three organizations down here meeting with the speaker. We've had the Samoan, we've had the parliamentary prayer being said in Samoan, beginning with Anai. Yesterday it was Barbara Edmonds. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, it'll be Teresa Ngobi. Those are our new MPs of Samoan heritage. And the speaker's been really wonderful. We gave ulala ufala to all the political leaders, including Nanaia Mahuta and our Minister of Finance, Grant Robertson. I think for me what stood out was the Rovendale School Ava ceremony that those young people performed. Oh, it was just beautiful. Young, age 7, 8, but they were confident. They were articulate, they were fearless. And it just reminded me that that's what that theme is about, having those strong posts, being confident in your language. And I just could see through them how they came across so confident, dignified, fearless. And those are the future leaders of Aotearoa who are born in New Zealand, but strong in their cultural heritage. And then this Saturday, we will end up, the ceremony will begin at, will be held at Whale Samoa in the Auckland University. This year, we're also introducing honours for our language champions. And each of the language weeks will determine who gets acknowledged and how many honours do we give out. Rotuma had 3, male, female honour, and of course a youth honour, and I like that. I heard the Samoans had a lot more, the Cook Islands won a lot more. I just hope they keep it small.
Now, talking of the Cook Islands, Minister, update on the COVID-19 vaccine rollout for Cook Islands, Niue and Tokelau.
So for the Cook Islands, the rollout continues. I think there were about 70% of vaccination on Rarotonga, and we're now planning for the outer islands. In Niue, the vaccine would have arrived yesterday or today, and they will begin firstly with the vaccinators and the health officials, and then we'll start rolling out with the rest of the population. We're hopeful that we can complete that in the next 5 weeks, given it's a small population, but obviously, you know, the doses, there's a 3-week separation for each of the doses. And I'm really pleased that the Niue government was determined to not open up the two-way border until the population was fully vaccinated. With Tokelau, we're working through logistics and, of course, with Samoa border. We're hoping to be able to start rolling out the vaccination. We're aiming for rolling out the vaccination in Tokelau in the first, around July, hopefully first, but it's just uncertain with these timeframes, so we're aiming for July. With Samoa, Tonga, and Tuvalu, they've already started the rollout of the vaccine, but they're using AstraZeneca. That was because they accepted the offer from WHO, the COVAX facility where everybody contributes to it. They accepted the AstraZeneca vaccine, but they only have enough dose to vaccine 20% of the population. We've been in discussion with them that we will provide them with the rest of the vaccine that they'll need in order to get the maximum vaccination for the population. But we're still going through our processes, of course, because MedSafe is the other layer of protection for us. So MedSafe, in addition to the approval of WHO, MedSafe also undertakes their process and has approved for our usage, Pfizer, which we're sharing with the Rail Mailing countries. But we're still working through that process for MedSafe to approve AstraZeneca. With Fiji, we're working, making sure that we can get vaccine as quickly to them as possible. And we're working with Australia. We're keeping an eye on what's happening with Fiji and await to see what other assistance we might be asked to provide. But certainly our mission on the ground is very close. We've provided PPEs, other equipment, and of course the offer of additional AstraZeneca. We're trying to see how we can get that quicker to Fiji as soon as possible.
And what of the uptake from our Pacific community here in Aotearoa in terms of numbers getting vaccinated? How is that looking currently, Minister?
Really, really good. Horizons did a survey and there's been a significant improvement. I think we've moved from 40% to 79% confidence in taking the vaccine. And I get that sense also as I've been going up and down with the Ministry of Pacific Peoples and Ministry of Health and with some of our own clinicians, Dr. Api Talemaitonga and Dr. Debbie Ryan and all the other clinicians have been on that. We started those discussions on Zoom. Now it's face-to-face. We were at Ashburton on Saturday night evening, and despite the rain and the wind there, we had a full house, about 60 Pacific peoples in Ashburton. I was surprised. And of course, immediately after we left there, they went into a state of emergency because of the floods. But I'm seeing a lot more confidence from our communities, and I'm really appreciative that the district health boards in the region have been very, very supportive. Obviously, the district health boards have flexibility, so they can choose sort of the blocks of people that they can vaccinate. And so whilst the Ministry of Health has given them general guidance now about vaccinating the most vulnerable, the 65-year-olds, particularly those in rest homes, for our people, most vulnerable are generally also those under 65. And so the district health boards are really good about recognising the vulnerabilities of Māori and Pacifica and vaccinating those with multiple illnesses or comorbidities, even though they may not be 65. So I'm feeling really, really confident. And I think my message has always been that this is a virus that doesn't care what size you are, what colour you are, doesn't care how much money you've got in your bank account. It doesn't even care whether you believe in God or not. And so that's been my message, but also that the vaccine is safe. I've got vaccinated, my two jabs, and I'm still here alive and kicking and well.
Now, yesterday, Aupito, when we spoke with the Prime Minister, the Right Honourable Jacinda Ardern, with regards to a formal apology for the Dawn Raids, next week or the week after, I think, the Polynesian Panthers celebrating 50 years, and they are some of the, you know, one of the groups sort of leading the call for a formal apology with regards to this dark chapter in New Zealand's history. Now, in terms of a formal apology, what is the time frame, and when can we or are we going to see a formal apology with regards to this?
Yeah, so I've received the advice from the Ministry for Pacific Peoples, and I'm now having considered that advice and looking at a number of different angles. Have now have initiated the formal process within the Labour Party and within my ministerial colleagues. I'm hopeful that by the end of this month that the government will have made a decision on that advice. And so I'm working as hard as we can. I know how important this is, not just to the Polynesian Panthers, but also to the wider Pacific communities. I think there are many of us who have very real experiences during that period. But I'll have more to say once government makes a decision on the recommendations that I put to them now.
Obviously, with the ongoing stalemate in Samoa, Minister, your comments on these, the ongoing saga or drama with regards to the political climate in our homeland?
Well, the government through our Prime Minister has been very, very strong in saying that we trust the democratic institutions of Samoa, its constitutional laws, its Office of Electoral Commissioner, the Attorney General, and of course the courts and the judiciary, and that we also trust the mana and the dignity of the social institutions of Samoa, its church leaders, to Muampule Maima. The Prime Minister called on Samoa to adhere to the rule of law and to respect those institutions. And so that's our position at the moment. And I think what we're now seeing is that being played out, where the Archbishop of the Catholic Church has spoken out quite strongly. We're seeing an attempt to bring Tumu and Bule Mainga together. And then we're seeing also the courts going through its appeal processes and making a decision yesterday. And so I think we're seeing good signs from the political leaders. There's obviously lots and lots of interest from the diaspora here in New Zealand, and I've been keeping an eye on that. Obviously, the Prime Minister and the Minister of Foreign Affairs, we're all keeping an eye on that, because of all the countries, New Zealand has a particularly special relationship with Samoa because of our long-standing treaty of friendship. And we've always said that we're ready to offer any help and support that the Samoa might need through this process. So I think we're seeing the democratic processes being undertaken. We're seeing the rule of law being applied, and we wait to see what further results will come through all of that.
And finally, of course, Lau Fionga Aupito, being Samoan Language Week, se fasoa po se tala mon tato atu nuu Samoa, fa fonga mai nei tai au, fa mono mole lava.
What I've said with the theme, po polo te fale olo manuela am fale, and I've said this to the young people in particular, so I'll say it in English, find your mana. Use this theme. Everybody has mana, but we need to find it, reclaim it, nurture it, develop it, grow it. Because I think when you find that, by knowing who you are, by knowing the stories of our ancestors, their strength, their values, by knowing your genealogy, I see the next generation becoming really good, strong, steadfast, strong leaders in our families and in Aotearoa New Zealand. I think the Māori use the word mana. For Samoans, we use the word mamalu. So, sa ili lo mamalu, sa ili ma te fatu, ma te loto, e maua lo mamalu, pe ae malama lama yo talafa solpito, pe ae malama lama ili tā ua o tātou mātua ma mātua e ua fai langi lātou whalauma. E maua lo mamalu, pe ae malama lama ilo ngafa, pe ae malama lama fo I talafa solpito, tu ngutu ma tu talinga, o inae tā wai, mawaile loto tele malele fefe so se mea.
The Minister for Pacific Peoples, the Honourable Aupito Toisulu Suluto Faisua William Seal. Always a pleasure. Lawa fionga, Aupito, faptaitele lava. Mole have no ne tae au, ya manuia lava le aso, faptaitele lava.
Manuia lava aso la so, vaya so ngan samo, soifua.